hatred sinks. As ministers announce a clampdown on so-called county lines drug gangs, critics say cuts to the Conservative Party has allowed the problem to grow. The Home Secretary has been on a raid by police in Liverpool and pledged more money to tackle criminal groups who exploit children as drug mules. Police investigating an attack on a woman in Sunderland are treating it as a hate crime. Charlie Graham, who's 20, says she suffered homophobic abuse during the assault last weekend by two men.
Got punched in the head, pushed to the floor, and then when I tried to get up, they pushed to the floor again, grazed me knees, my face, and cut my face open. I've been jumped on numerous occasions because I've been gay, and I've had things shouted at us, and it is, in this day and age, it's disgusting.
Well, Charlie says it's the fifth time she's been attacked in Sunderland. Labour leadership hopeful Emily Thornberry is warning the party it faces a long, tough road back to power.
I want to be the woman, and I know I can be the woman who stands up and leads the fight back against Boris Johnson.
93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted. Singing play at Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It's all going so far so good for Pompey in 2020.
Cross looking towards Marquess. Marquess!
And the Blues have the chance to secure a fourth straight victory tomorrow afternoon with all 3 points at Bolton. On tonight's show, we'll be hearing from Pompey CEO Mark Catlin, who discusses the recently revealed Milton End redevelopment plans.
We have released the Milton End and as plans, but as we're clear to say, this is phase one of a much larger development.
Hear what he had to tell me this morning by staying tuned between now and 7pm. On the agenda tonight, we have the latest on the transfer front, all the reaction from the release of the first phase of the Fratton Park redevelopment plans, and of course a preview of this weekend's trip to Bolton Wanderers. As ever, we'd love for you to get involved with the conversation back home. Does Ryan Williams come straight back into the team tomorrow, or does Marcus Harness deserve to retain his place? Would you like to see Jack Watmore return to the Blues starting 11? And what do you think of the Milton End designs? Text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or include at expressfm within your tweets. We look forward to hearing from you between now and 7 o'clock right here on 93.7 FM, DAB, digital radio and online at expressfm.com on the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome along to Express FM for the Friday Football Hour, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses. Find out more information over at stagecoach.co.uk. Coming up tonight, myself, Sam Macy and Josh Sweetman are on hand to deliver this evening's show, on which we'll be discussing the latest transfer news, previewing tomorrow's big game away to Bolton, and of course chatting about this week's big talking point, the release of phase one of the redevelopment of Fratton Park, of course. We'll also be hearing from manager Kenny Jackett and club CEO Mark Catlin between now and 7 o'clock. Okay, let's bring in my two studio guests for this evening's conversation, starting off with none other than Sam Macy. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Jake. Always a pleasure.
And alongside Sam tonight, making his Football Hour debut, pleased to welcome Josh Sweetman to the show. Josh, great to have you in with us this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jake.
Gents, let's talk about the recent developments on the pitch then. Pompey, Sam, three games unbeaten, three different competitions, of course, League One, FA Cup, EFL Trophy as well. Going well so far in 2020, it's been a bright start to the year.
Yeah, that's it. It might be three different tournaments. One of them, no one really is that bothered about the Leeson Trophy, but three wins are three wins at the end of the day, and Marcus is scoring in 2020 and it looks like we're starting to do well. Maybe we can build on those three games, get a few more players in potentially before the month's out, and then kick on from there. I think we've got more than got the tools to go up, and provided we have a good January, there's no reason why we can't.
Touching upon what Sam's just mentioned there, Josh, maybe a couple of more additions into a squad in this January transfer window. Do you think they're definitely needed if Pompey are desperate for promotion this season?
I think they are. I mean, I think we're close as it is. I think one or two more additions, especially in defence, right back, I still think, despite what Jackett said this week, that we're desperate for someone that gets forward and absolutely bombs. At the moment, we've got Bolton, who's doing a fair job, but he doesn't like going past the halfway line. And for a team like Portsmouth, who have got aspirations of getting promoted, you need to attack from both your fullbacks and both your wingers. So there and your centre half, I think, is where we really need to add.
Of course, I haven't spoken to you since it happened, Sam, but the departure of Anton Walkes back to Atlanta United last week, one that really none of us saw coming until the day, really. But what do you make of that one? Is it kind of one where, yeah, it's sad to see him go, but are we going to miss him too much?
On the grand scheme of it, I don't think we will miss him too much. I think Walkes, initially when he came in on loan from Spurs a couple of years ago, was really, really good and everyone was buzzing when he signed permanently. But it's not really happened for him since he's made his move permanent. I think he's been moved here, there and everywhere. No one really knows what his best position is. Is he a right back? Is he a centre back? Is he a central midfielder? But yeah, it was a bit of a scapegoat but for Jackett, just being moved all over the pitch. It will be, in terms of a squad player who will miss, then potentially, yeah. But overall, is it going to make that big of an effect on the first team? Probably not. I think the fact that we got a fee for him is brilliant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked Anton Walkes, but I don't think he'll be as sorely missed as some players we've let go in the last couple of years.
Let's talk about a player who is having a big impact for Pompey recently, in particular, Josh. John Marquis. In his last three games, he scored three goals. In his last 11 starts, he's scored 7 and he's got 4 assists with him at time as well. A player who, okay, he's playing a bit out of position right at the moment in that number 10 role behind the striker, but even so, he's still proving his weight in gold.
Absolutely. I think it's a frustrating season, especially for Marquis, because he's playing in a role that's not used to, and the number 10, he's not leading the line as he's been used to at Doncaster. He scores goals for fun. He's got 17 in the last three seasons, and I said earlier there's been times then he's gone through on goal, and you know, if he's in a Doncaster shirt, that's straight in the back of the net, and it hasn't quite come off for him this season. But I'd like to see Kenny lead the line with him personally. I think if you're going to get promoted from this league, your striker needs to be scoring your goals, and that is something that he's done in abundance.
Yeah. Don't forget, you can get involved back home too if you like. Tonight we're asking if you'd like to see Jack Watmore start for the Blues this weekend, or if you'd rather see him eased in a little bit slower. Who starts on the wing tomorrow? Does Marcus Harness deserve to keep his place, or should Ryan Williams be thrown straight back into the mix? You've got between now and 7 to get your thoughts into us and let us know your score predictions too, as Pompey prepare to take on Bolton Wanderers. We're going to move on now though to the topic of the Milton End. Pompey revealed their plans for phase 1 of the redevelopment of Fratton Park on Tuesday afternoon, and I caught up with CEO Mark Catlin this morning, first asking how it feels to have finally released the designs to the public.
Yeah, obviously very excited, because I know there's been some pent-up frustration in us not showing that. And as people said, that, you know, during the last year or two, when we've pretty much nailed the Milton End, why are we not showing the Milton End? Because that's not commercially sensitive. It doesn't, you know, show our hand in other areas of the stadium. So, you know, we had quite a few discussions with the Heritage and Advisory Board, the Tony Goodall Fans Conference, and that seemed to be their view. So we have released the Milton End and as plans, but as we're clear to say, this is phase one of a much larger development it is what we can show supporters at this moment in time without showing our hand commercially in what we want to do as part of a larger project.
Yeah. Before the design and the facelift of the Milton End even comes into play, the first priority is fan safety. With the plans for the new stand, do you feel this has been achieved?
Definitely, in regards of the Milton End, and that was a key consideration, that out of our four stands, that is the one that is in the most need of upgrading. It also gave us the opportunity to accommodate better our disabled supporters, which was a key consideration. But yeah, with or without, you know, a new Milton End, there was work required on it. So it sort of, this makes logical sense, not just to what we can actually show the supporters at the moment, but in the wider scheme of things in regards of that the Milton Inn does need considerable amount of work anyway just to stay open.
Many have asked why the new stand is only getting a slight increase in capacity, but would a bigger Milton End even have been possible? Where's the space?
No, it's not. It's just not possible. There's we c- commissioned various specialists, you know, leaders in their particular field in regards of right of light issues. So height wise we are very, very constrained in what we can do. We're more or less at maximum. At the back with Specs Lane, it has a 33,000 kilowatt mains power line that runs underneath there, and it's not just the line you have to avoid, it's specific distances around that, because of it can conduct and you can still get an electric shock even if you don't touch the actual line itself. So to move that or to start buying up houses at the back just wouldn't have made any commercial of you know, it just financially wouldn't have been viable. So you are literally constrained to what we got. You can only, if you've got a 5 gallon jug, you can only get 5 gallons of water in it, and if in this instance the fans of water, you can only get so many fans in there. And we spoke to and consulted with specialists not just in the UK but throughout the world in regards of stadium developments, people that did like the new Anfield and Tottenham and Brighton, and they all came to the same conclusion that 3,200 give or take was the absolute maximum we could fit in that area.
Looking at the outside facade of the stands in the designs, we notice that the Tudor style look has made the cut. How important do you believe it is to keep the traditional feel of Fratton Park alive whilst also moving forward and keeping up with the times and adding that modern feel to the stadium?
Yeah, it's staying in touch with our roots and the tradition of the club. The Tudor entrance in the Fratton down Frogmore Road is iconic. And what Michael and his designers, and Michael's very keen on architecture and design himself, as are his boys, and you know, they were very, very keen that in any new development we did, whether we decide to move in the future or stay at Fratton Park, it was absolutely key that, you know, we didn't create a soulless concrete bowl.
Yeah.
So just because I think it's quite unique. I don't believe there's many other clubs that have gone down this route. But we're Portsmouth. We're a unique club. So we don't want to. We're not cattle. We're not going to just, you know, follow what everyone else does. So we want to do something different, something unique. And keeping in style with our heritage and history and what people, you know, what are we famous for? The Tudor entrance is what we're famous for. Yeah. So, you know, that will be a theme that I think you're going to start seeing throughout as we hopefully, you know, do continue to develop the stadium moving forward.
Yeah. In these new designs, there seems to be so much more space and options for away fans in particular when it comes to toilet facilities and refreshments as well. How badly does the Milton End need this new and improved concourse?
Well, I think to increase, as people may know at the moment, we have got a capacity, a reduced capacity. I think it's just under 2,800. But internally, we operate what we call a safe working capacity, which is 2,000. So the very, very few occasions, although we can go over to, we choose not to because of health and safety reasons. But in all scenarios, when you go above 1,400, above one side, the facilities on the other side, you know, that they can't cope. So if you go above 1,400, say in the southeast corner, the southeast corner facilities can't cope with that. Mm-hmm. So you're limited to breaking it up in 1,400 blocks at the moment. The current design, because of the concourse at the back and the extra facilities that we're putting in, washroom facilities, we can break it up in 25% segments. So if, let's just using an example, Rochdale brought 100 fans, they would get an 800 block. But we would get 2,600 that we could use for home fans. And as I've said as well, in all cases now, we can use 800 permanently for home fans in the northeast corner, including our DDA, disabled supporters. And likewise, in the southeast corner with the away fans, they can use disabled facilities there and sit with their own fans, which was one of the key drivers in getting this done.
Mark Catlin there with some of his thoughts on the new Milton End plans, and that's something we're going to come back to right after this next break. Myself, Sam and Josh will be spending the next part of the show discussing our opinions on the matter. We'll also go to the social media channels to hear from you back home, and we'll also hear once more from the Pompey CEO. Live and exclusive here on the only radio station proud to be based within the great waterfront city, you're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to tonight's edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM. This season, the show is brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South, who operate a fast, friendly and reliable service across the great waterfront city and beyond too. Download their app today on either the Apple app or Google Play stores to plan your next journey. Our attention turns now to the news of the first phase of a redevelopment of Fratton Park, which sees the Milton End the first of the stands to receive major visual treatment. And we'd love to hear the thoughts of you back home too while we do so. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, or you can find us on Twitter, of course, at expressfm. I'm going to throw it over now to my two studio guests, Sam and Josh. Starting off with you, Sam, and really just kind of bluntly though, looking at those plans of the Milton End that were released on Tuesday afternoon, what are your initial thoughts on them?
Yeah, I'm a very big fan of them. I think Pompey's, well, Fratton Park has always been needing a bit of a lick of paint for a long time now. I think, for me, the plans look good. A lot of stick's been given to it. However, I don't know what some fans are expecting. There's no room whatsoever to redevelop it properly. You're not going to get a new stand. You're not going to get a new stadium. So to redevelop the stand like they have done, I really like it. And I think it's the first step of redeveloping the whole ground and hope without losing too much character. And I think that's something which all Pompey fans would want. They don't want to lose the Fratton Park character while also making it a bit more modern, because everyone knows that it does need to be freshened up. But yeah, I really like the plans initially.
Yeah. You can't really seem to win, can you, Josh? Because there's no shine away from it. Fratton Park does need a major redevelopment to keep up with modern times, and really to keep it at a safe working capacity as well. But, you know, the plans have come out. Yes, they're new. Yes, they're modern. But as Sam's mentioned there, they're trying to keep with the traditions of that kind of Tudor mock entrances. And yet it's still receiving this criticism, and you can't understand as to, I don't know, what do we really want?
You're right. I mean, everyone on Twitter, everyone on social media thinks they're an architect at the end of the day, and they'll pull the strings out of everything and criticise it. And I'm, as Sam said, I'm a really big fan. I think it fits with what we currently have at Fratton Park, and if it didn't, and what fans are expecting, then the only other logical option is to move away from Fratton Park. And as soon as that would be suggesting as an idea, then there would be an issue with that with fans. Yeah. So I'm a big fan. I think they really look good, and at the end of the day, to be able to host more, our capacity, especially if we can earn promotion, then it won't make a huge amount of difference in the long run, but bringing in extra revenue at the time is only going to benefit the club.
Yeah. I think we all knew shortly going into, you know, ahead of these plans being released, Sam, that the Milton End, out of the three other stands in of the stadium that do need a look at, is really the one that's not as important perhaps as the others, because obviously the big project is the North Stand and then the Fratton End. South Stand can't really do too much to it. Milton End is the away fans. Again, as Josh mentioned there, sorry, you can't build it up, you can't build it further back, as Mark's mentioned in the interview back there. All they can do really is try and refurb it and make it look better.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when I first started going to Fratton Park, there was no roof on the Milton End, and I think that was a short-term fix to it, and it's just sort of refurbishing that and making that look a bit more appealing. I think the North Stand, there is potentially a little bit more room to build with obviously the car park behind it, so maybe that is something which is next on the priority list. But to be honest with you, as long as Fratton Park doesn't lose the character, it could take 10 days, it could take 10 years, I don't mind. And that is it, like, that's the process which we've all got to believe in and hopefully see the future and we will get a ground which we're happy with.
And obviously looking at the plans as well, Josh, you know, you look at all the aspects that they have included within these new Milton End plans. The capacity will be approximately 3,200, and a 45% increase on the current safe working capacity. But really the main kind of talking point away from that is the fact that there will be access for disabled supporters within the stand, which has been quite a big issue for, in particular, visiting fans who have come down to Fratton Park. And they've had to have their disabled fans in the Fratton End, which really is not convenient at all. You want to be with your own set of supporters. And, you know, we could look at this from a Pompey fan's perspective, but you also got to look at it as an away fan as well, because if we go to a ground and you find out that our disabled supporters are the other end of the pitch, you're not going to be happy. And that's something that they've focused on, and that's one of their priorities, and they've nailed it.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're an away fan and you're going on an away day, you don't want to travel up to the stadium and end up being in the home end. Yeah. I mean, at the end, you'd have to mute your celebration almost, because you know that you're going to get flak from behind you from either side. So I think being able to offer that facility is just another thing that perhaps in the grand scheme of things doesn't seem that big with the new plans, but the owners have been putting a lot of money in behind the scenes to redevelop the ground. Some stuff that's not actually noticed by fans a lot of the time, but it's definitely going to be a benefit, and it'll be more of a draw, and hopefully teams will be bringing more away fans and it'll be becoming a better atmosphere at Fratton Park.
Let's get to some of the text tweets and emails coming into us now in regards to, of course, the Milton End plans. Luke Ellis, I think they look really good, but without planning permission and buying from others, it's a non-starter. I hope it's sorted, as I'd love to see the rest of the redevelopment plans, and above all else, I want to stay at Fratton Park. Interested to see how it unfolds over the next 18 months or so. Martin Fish, the ground is slowly being brought into the 21st century whilst retaining the history and legacy of the club. Too many moaners knocking Pompey, let's stick together, Blue Army, says Martin Fish. John Squires, positive steps forward, improving disabled fans' view and matchday experience. Jerry Johns on Twitter says, uninspiring, he's not a fan of the new plans. Kenny Scott says, I like it, I believe it when I see it, we've heard this too many times over the years. And to be fair to Kenny, Sam, he's not wrong, is he? We have seen many different plans for a new Fratton Park, be it on site or at a different location, and they've never been delivered. So we do hope, with all of our fingers and toes crossed, that this is actually the one now that we're going to stick with it and move forward with.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I don't know what some fans are expecting. You're not going to get the bird about in Pompey, are you? Like, you're not going to get a double-decker stand in the middle of Fratton. I think you've got to be realistic, and if you're underwhelmed by it, then you've not been to Pompey. It's like, it's the most densely populated city in England, and I think if you look at it like that, there is literally no room. And I think Fratton Park in general is just built in the middle of a housing estate, and I think it's not feasible to think of moving. It's not feasible to think of building up or backwards, like as Mark Catlin explained in the interview.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No.
And it's frustrating to see, because everyone wants to stay at Fratton Park, and when it does get redeveloped and these plans come out, people moan about it.
Bruce Cameron Stewart on Twitter says, the owners have delivered a glimpse of a distinctive and well thought out plan. I think extending the mock Tudor theme retains the original feel. There's no off the shelf design like other local clubs. The club is right to ask for support from Network Rail. If the council wants to reduce car usage, then it needs to provide an easy alternative, says Bruce on Twitter. And I think a lot of people have got the wrong end of the stick, Josh, on this whole Network Rail and kind of transport and Portsmouth City Council issues, but the club aren't asking for money to build this stand. They're just simply asking for the support, the permission, and really the help to kind of coincide and work together to, like Pompey say, we'll build the stand if Network Rail can improve the facilities at Fratton Station, because, Fratton Station, that cannot cope with an increased capacity at Fratton Park. We need to work together. We're not asking for money at all. It's working together to try and create a feasible, of course, a stadium as well, but really the local area too.
Yeah, and it only takes a few people on social media to sort of say, well, look, we can't afford it, we're asking for handouts for other people. And that's definitely not the case. I mean, as you said, Fratton Station can't host hundreds and thousands of people coming in on a match day. There needs to be better routes to the stadium. You look at the traffic going down the road, it's a standstill. You can walk up the street as the traffic waits to go to move. So with a little bit of help, then there's definitely potential there, but it's not the club asking for handouts to pay for the stadium, it's something else. But unfortunately, some people see it that way and they can't change their opinion.
Yeah. Looking at some more of the aspects that Pompey reveals at what's going to be involved with the new Milton End, and one of those is a fully covered, refurbished and extended roof as well, including corner areas, Sam, which basically, as we've seen from the pictures as well, they're going to fill in the corners, they're going to remove that police box that's been there and unused for many years now, the BBC Radio solar box on the other side of the stand as well, and they're going to use them corners to fill them in with more seats. And really create another point here, new safety and security control room. But most of those kind of areas will be covered with seats, and they're going to join up with the other two stands next to them, which is something, again, which Pompey fans have been crying out for so long.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you look at it, people say we're going to lose the atmosphere. That's only going to help the atmosphere, because you're keeping it in. There's no room for it to escape. And I think that is something which I really like about it. That adds even more character to the ground and makes the fans even closer to the pitch. I think you look for away players, they always say it's intimidating to see how close the players are to the fans, and that's going to make it even better and hopefully make Fratton even more of a difficult place to come for opposition players.
And just finally as well, Josh, another important aspect of this new Milton End will be there'll be a hell of a lot more facilities, you know, toilets, washrooms and a kiosk as well on the concourse and to the sides of the stand, which will support not only away fans but home supporters too if we do indeed use the stand, you know, if demand doesn't exceed for away fans. So that's desperately been needed because there is minimal, you know, kiosk services and washroom facilities within that stand currently, and that needed to be boosted, and that has been.
It has, and I remember sitting in the away end years ago in the Premier League, and there was simply nothing on offer there. And as it is, it's just not sustainable at the moment. So it's great that we've actually thought about it, and it's a plan overall that people were starting to sort of stir on Twitter because we weren't releasing the plans and nothing was being said. But time has been taken to make sure that every aspect has been got right, and it clearly has. And once again, I just think that the plans are very impressive.
A few more on Facebook before we do move on. Dan says, I like it, kept it minimal and keeping with current and with the modernisation of the plans, and brilliant idea to have a disabled facilities, I can't say the word tonight. Peter West says, 1,500 more fans, better facilities and still in keeping with the Fratton Park style, what's not to like? Unless you knock down all the houses by Milton End and completely build a new stadium. Shame they couldn't get rid of the posts, but I understand that would have restricted the concourse and seats and capacity. Derek Usher says, great for the disabled, of course. Other than that, it doesn't look an awful lot different. Bearing in mind there's not a lot that can be done to make it look very different due to the height restriction, of course, says Derek on Facebook. Okay, lads, thank you. We are now going to round off the Milton End chat by hearing once more from Pompey CEO Mark Catlin, who discusses whether or not the club have set a timescale in getting the job done.
Well, from our point of view, we'd like to go tomorrow. Is that going to happen? No. I don't want to put any timescales on it because you become a hostage of fortune, and I don't mind being a hostage to a fortune if it's something within our control, but this is outside of our control, so I can't vouch on timescales for other people. Plain and simple, for us, the planning will go in probably next week now. We'll get the plan in. We're still taking some feedback and consultation from supporters that are thankfully writing in with their observations on it. But planning, 3 to 6 months. Quietly confident. We're not, as I said, we're not breaching anything exterior to the footprint that we're already on. So we don't envisage a huge amount of issues with planning. I think that will go through. But then really it is back to everyone else then, as I keep saying, to join the party. You know, what do they want for this area? Because in isolation, you know, the Milton End isn't such a big thing for us. It's really beyond the Milton End and what we can do for the Fratton area generally. And I think the plans we've got are great for the city, but as I said, you can't put the elements and, you know, the exciting things we want to do for this area and then people can't get to it. It just doesn't add up. And from a capacity point of view, I see, you know, again, I see the fans, I'll just do this, just do that, and get, you know, an extra couple of thousand. This is what we need in regards to 25,000 seat stadium, 26,000 seat stadium. By the time you get to the Championship, the capacity on its own doesn't give you any real financial advantages. Yeah. There are some financial advantages, don't get me wrong, you know, but these are 1 or 2 million advantages in the scheme of things, yeah, per year. That doesn't give us a fighting chance, no, you know, to compete at the top end of the Championship and get in the Prem. Yeah. The project we've got in mind, we're looking at generating millions, tens of millions, yeah, for the club that can then give us a fighting chance, not only in the Championship, but into the Premiership. Mm. So I think supporters sometimes, and myself, I mean, I've been a fan all my life, you get a little bit hung up on capacity and does that make you a bigger club or a, yeah, smaller club and give you a lot of money extra. It doesn't. In the scheme of things, in League 1, League 2 it does, but the time you get into the Championship where owners are funding clubs to the tune of £15-20 million a year in losses, and then you get to the Prem and it's hundreds of millions in regards of the, yeah, TV rights and the commercial deals, the actual capacity is very small. So we have to be creative in a project that drives huge revenues into Fratton Park to keep to what Michael promised at the Guildhall, which is sustainability. That's what we're doing, you know, and we've got the plans to do that. But as I keep saying, we now need others to help us facilitate that. Yeah. And we're not asking for a penny from anyone to build what we want on our land. Yeah. All we're saying is we'll look after what we're doing, but you have to look after what you're doing as well.
Yeah.
If we're going to generate all this extra employment, revenue for the city, people coming into the city, raising the profile of the city, they can't arrive at Fratton Park station with a short platform, as an example. Yeah. It's embarrassing for us as a city, for what we want to create here and the image we want to portray, pulling into Fratton Park station as one of the elements that is required to trigger this whole development.
Now, we've already seen the considerable improvements to the south stands, with a new roof, cladding, structural work all looked at and completed this season. Can we still expect to see the new larger television gantry in place for the start of next season?
I think we've taken a decision at the moment. I mean, there's still ongoing health and safety work. There's still quite a lot of money that needs to be spent just to keep the club ticking over and not suffering reductions in capacity. So at this moment, Michael's over in a week or two. I think we're probably going to arrive at a decision. Don't want to preempt the meeting, but it is something that we're going to discuss. Personally, I think the more we're spending on things that are not essential at the moment in the stadium, sort of ties our hands for the potential. As we've always said, if we're not getting the support and the backing from the network, the transport infrastructure people, then we need to be looking elsewhere, and there's no point in building a TV gantry, in my opinion, at a huge cost at this moment in time, unless we are 100% committed to staying at Fratton Park, and that really is replicates into what we've been saying. It's consistent with the Milton End. But listen, there are advantages of the TV gantry in regards of our iFollow service is going up and up and up. It's becoming quite a, you know, big part of our revenue now, and growing. It's something we think will continue to grow. So the TV gantry operationally does have.
Mark Catlin there, concluding tonight's analysis of the recently revealed Milton End plans. You can find further information about the plans over on our website, expressfm.com. It's time now to hear from Ian Chiverton, who previews this weekend's action for the Pompey Women.
Hi everyone, my name's Ian Chiverton and welcome to the Pompey Women Review. Unfortunately, Pompey's bad luck with the weather continued, as both Sunday's league game away to Watford and Thursday's home Hampshire Cup semi-final were both postponed due to waterlogged pitches. That means Pompey have played five less games than some teams in the division now. Despite that, Pompey sit comfortable in mid-table. Winning all five games would see them in contention for the title, a fact not lost on manager Jay Sadler, who is determined to be involved in the title race this season. This weekend, Pompey should be at home to Cardiff City. The match at Baffins is a 2 p.m. kickoff. Cardiff currently sit third in the league table. Pompey beat them 2-1 in the league earlier this season and will be looking to take 3 points again on Sunday. I'd advise checking social media before setting out, just to check the games going ahead. As always, you can watch all the Pompey Women goals, highlights and interviews on our YouTube channel, Pompey Women Vlogs.
Big thanks to Chiv there with a look ahead to Sunday's game at home to Cardiff City. 2 p.m. kickoff at the PMC Stadium, weather permitting, of course. After the break, we'll be turning our heads back to work on the pitch. This weekend, the Blues go up against troubled Bolton Wanderers away from home, and the three of us will be previewing that game in just a few moments' time. So keep it express. Myself, Sam and Josh will be back in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening. Welcome back to the third and final part of tonight's show. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM, proudly sponsored by Stagecoach across the South. Find out more information on all the latest fares, timetables, routes and more by heading over to their website, stagecoach.co.uk. This weekend, Pompey travel to Bolton Wanderers for the next League One adventure, and here now with a guide on how to get to the ground if you're one of the 2,000 Blues fans making the journey up is Robbie James.
After four away matches on the trot for the Blues, Pompey fans finally had the chance last weekend to rest up and watch the game on home turf, which has become something of a rarity recently. However, there's no rest for the wicked, as it's time to hit the road again, and this time it's a return way back up north, this time to the University of Bolton Stadium, the home of, you guessed it, Bolton Wanderers. This will be Pompey's first visit to the stadium, based in Horwich, and previously known as the Reebok Stadium, since the sides met in the Premier League in April 2010. On that day, the Blues found themselves 2-0 down at half-time, but came back in the second half to draw 2-2, thanks to a brace from Aruna Dindan. This time round, visiting fans will be housed in the two-tier south stand. Please be aware that if you are allocated a position in the front sections of the lower tier, there is no roof covering above you, so you may be subject to the odd shower. Be sure to wrap up warm, apparently, wherever you're sat. It's supposed to be another chilly one. If you're heading up by car, then you need to punch in the address Burndon Way, Horwich, which is on the outskirts of Bolton, and the postcode you need is BL66JW. That's BL66JW. To get to the stadium from the south, go via the M6 and leave at Junction 21A onto the M62. From there, join the M60 at Junction 12 and follow signs for the M61 towards Preston. Do not take the A666 towards Bolton, as the ground is not situated within the town centre. However, do turn off at the M61 at Junction 6 and take the third exit off the roundabout and onto the A6027. You'll be able to get to the ground and it will be signposted. At the next roundabout, take a left turn onto Burndon Way, where you'll find the ground. As always, please allow plenty of time for your journey, as traffic can get very congested near the stadium and also on the M62 and M60, with traffic heading into the Manchester area. There is parking available at the ground for Pompey fans, who will be allocated to car park A, located on the south end of the stadium, accessed via the Haviland Way and signposted from the motorway. The cost is £7 per car, £12 for a minibus and £20 per coach. However, it's worth noting the car park can get very full and it's difficult to leave early after the game. There are spaces available for disabled Pompey fans in car park A. Please note, a blue badge must be shown before entry is permitted to this section. It's worth noting a lot of the nearby industrial estates located either side of Lockstock Lane offer cheaper parking, usually around £4 to £5 per car. From the M61, pass the ground on your left, move into the right-hand filter lane and turn right at the traffic lights into Lockstock Lane. St. Joseph's School on Chorley New Road, BL6 6HW, offers matchday parking at a small charge. There is a pathway running from the school to the ground as well. To get there by train, the nearest station, Horwich Parkway, is situated about 200 yards from the ground. Trains run 3 times an hour from Bolton's main railway station to Horwich Park, and the journey will be less than 10 minutes. Alternatively, trains run every half hour directly from Manchester Piccadilly to Horwich Parkway, and that journey will take about half an hour. Trains run regularly from London Euston to Manchester Piccadilly, and that journey takes about 2 hours. Currently, there is no scheduled engineering works or industrial action showing, but all details can be checked at www.nationalrail.co.uk. Being on the outskirts of Bolton, there is limited choice of places to eat and drink. The Beehive Pub, 991 Chorley New Road, Lostock, Bolton, BL6 4BA, will be a welcoming to Pompey fans. The Beehive is a Green King pub, next to the Premier Inn, about 15-minute walk from the ground. You can park in the pub car park for £5, redeemable against a food order in the pub. To get to the Beehive, travelling from the M61, continue straight on past the stadium, and the pub is situated at the next roundabout. In the nearby Middlebrook Retail Park, there are plenty of places to eat, including KFC, Burger King, Pizza Hut, Subway and McDonald's, as well as other restaurants. Please check for any parking restrictions in the retail park before leaving your car there. Inside the ground, there is a range of Holland's pies, burgers, hot dogs and hot and cold drinks, and alcohol is usually on sale in the ground. For up-to-date matchday information, go to @PompeyFCCop on Twitter.
Robbie James there with all you need to know on how to make it safely to the University of Bolton Stadium this weekend. A big thanks as well to Pam Wilkins from the Pompey Supporters Trust for helping us, as always, with that part of the show. Let's move on now, though, to find out what awaits the team once they arrive in Horwich. Breakfast host and producer Mason Jordan takes us through this week's opposition, Bolton Wanderers.
It's back on the road for Pompey this weekend for match day 25 in League One. Of the Blues' 11 league away matches played so far this season, only twice have they been victorious. And standing in the way of only a third league win on the road is bottom of the table, Bolton Wanderers.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Kenny Jackett's side had the chance to make it 4 wins from their last 4 when they hit the road for the University of Bolton Stadium this weekend. The Blues have recently defeated both Fleetwood and Walsall away from home in the FA Cup and the EFL Trophy respectively, as well as beaten AFC Wimbledon at Fratton Park last time out in league action. All of those games, coincidentally, ended in 2-1 wins for Pompey.
Manager.
50-year-old Keith Hill is the manager of the club known as the Trotters. Hill represented the likes of Blackburn Rovers, Plymouth Argyle and Wrexham across a playing career spanning 16 years. He piled his trade as a defender up until 2003. Upon retiring, Bolton-born Keith joined former club Rochdale, of whom he played for between 1996 and 2001, as part of the Packrin coaching staff and eventually was trusted with leading the Dale as first team manager. He managed the club between 2006 and 2011 and again between 2013 and 2019, with a stint at Barnsley in between. Hill was appointed of gaffer of his hometown club of Bolton on the 31st of August 2019, telling the press that it was his dream job.
One to watch.
Watch out for defender Toto Nsiala this weekend. The Congolese centre-back is on loan at Bolton from fellow League One outfit Ipswich Town, and you may remember him from a match played just last month. Whilst playing for his parent club Ipswich, Nsiala was subbed off by manager Paul Lambert just 38 minutes into the game, not due to an injury, but as a result of carrying a yellow card from earlier on in the match and looking likely to get himself sent off. In a bizarre move, the defender was confused by the substitution, but Tractor Boys boss Lambert defended his decision as a result of the carelessness shown by his player when he was on the pitch. It was inevitable he would have eventually been sent off had he stayed on any longer. The 27-year-old will remain at Bolton until the end of the campaign.
Top scorer.
With 7 goals to his name thus far, veteran Football League striker Daryl Murphy is the Trotters' leading scorer in League One. The former Sunderland, Celtic and Ipswich Town forward joined Bolton in September, following his release from Nottingham Forest earlier on in the season. Murphy made his debut for the club against Pompey in this season's reverse fixture, where the Blues went out 1-0 winners at Fratton Park.
Current form.
It has to be said, Bolton Wanderers look rather doomed and destined to be playing fourth-tier football next season. The Trotters are rock bottom of the division, 23rd in the table as a result of Bury's expulsion from the Football League. They started their campaign on minus 12 points, a federation decision following the club's financial difficulties, and have since acquired 19 points, meaning they have a tally of 7. Bolton are 17 points adrift from safety, and it would take something pretty miraculous for them to survive the drop this season. Can Pompey make it 4 wins in 4 and inflict further misery on a troubled Bolton Wanderers side? It's time to find out as all the unmissable action unfolds on Pompey Live.
Once again, a big thanks to Pam Wilkins, Robbie James and Mason Jordan for all of their help on the last two features. As we look ahead to tomorrow afternoon's clash with Bolton Wanderers, just quickly, lads, the debate which has sparked amongst Pompey fans this week is whether or not Marcus Harness should retain his place in the squad tomorrow. Josh, what do you think? Because Ryan Williams comes back from injury, and of course a player who was consistent for the Blues until he did get that injury. But Marcus Harness, really on form recently, what do you take on that?
For me, I think Harness starts. He starts this game. I'm a big, big fan of Williams, and I think he's one of those players that you're guaranteed a 7 out of 10 performance from him. Unfortunately, when it comes to comparing him to Harness, Williams doesn't score goals, doesn't really contribute with assists. If you look at his past couple of seasons, Harness is very much one of those that you could get a 9 out of 10 performance. He was fantastic in two of his last couple of games, but you also know that he's capable of a 3 out of 10 performance, and you won't see him for 90 minutes. Once Williams is fully fit, for me, he comes back in and starts, and then you have Harness off the bench. But just for now, I think Harness starts tomorrow.
Joe Jones says Harness for me. Jeff says Harness all day long. Christine says Harness. Chris says Harness is playing well. Steve Smith says no, Harness has played well and deserves his starting place. It is his to lose. In my opinion, Williams' pace will be great to use as a sub when others are tiring out in the game. Thank you everyone who got involved. It's now time to hear the thoughts of the manager Kenny Jackett, who sat down with iFollow's Johnny Moore earlier this week. First of all, Kenny was asked about the importance of keeping consistent with results at this stage of the season.
You always need to win your next game, particularly in such an open division as it is. We're one of the sides that have a chance of getting one of those three promotion places that we want. And you need a strong finish, we really do. It's okay saying it's open, but you have to push on. So good win against Wimbledon. Recent sort of quite a good run if you're looking from November onwards. We've had good results generally, but the focus is on the next game, and great game to play in as well. Good stadium, terrific pitch. Should enjoy going up there.
The likes of MK Dons and Accrington, where you come a bit unstuck, teams that are down lower. Do you see that as a problem?
Yeah, they're difficult games. There's no easy games whatsoever, and Bolton certainly won't be. You know, they've had their own sort of problems, more off field than on. Obviously, you know, for Keith Hill and Dave Flitcroft, they've done a very, very good job so far in difficult circumstances, and we'll be looking to build themselves. But, you know, we're at a different stage. Everybody is. We have to focus on ourselves, make sure we're right. And as I said, you know, not underestimate the game at all. You know, we certainly didn't underestimate those games, and have done everything we can to try to win it, and you know, followed it up by beating Fleetwood away, which is a good one. So our away form's been mixed. We've had some very good results, but have we been as consistent as last year? No. If we were, though, we'd be sort of far and away and at the top of the league. So we have to try to aspire to that. But some difficult away games coming up second half of the season, and this will be no different whatsoever.
Well, I imagine it won't be too different aside from Wimbledon.
It won't be. We've got a similar group. There isn't any injuries from that particular game, which is good news for us. And we're slowly getting one or two more players back. You know, we see Houndstruck back, Watmore back, you know, lads like that. That's very, very good. McCrory won't be available, more likely next week, I think. But he'll be back with us and in full training next week, which is good news. So if we can get, you know, as strong a squad as possible, and as you know, people ask me about additions, but you know, I was looking at for the people to come out the treatment room, and additions that way can really help us as well and give us balance.
McCrory, where do you see him fitting in?
I think his best performances so far have been right back, and he's a good attacking right back. You know, we have James Bolton there at the moment, who's had some excellent performances and good results as well in that. And I do feel as well, balance is Sedunov, who's you know, gets forward very well. But for Ross anyway, his best games for us has undoubtedly been at right back. We haven't quite seen the best of him yet. There's been glimpses, but you know, with him coming back, we think that he'd be very unlucky to get injured again. He's a young, fit lad and deserves a good run between now and the end of the season, where we can really, we think, play him consistently and get the best out of him.
The gaffer Kenny Jackett there, speaking ahead of this weekend's trip to Bolton. You can hear the full extent of that interview when Pompey Live returns tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock. We'll also have John Marquis on the show during our build-up of the match. And just quickly, Sam, I'd like to mention Jack Watmore made his return from injury last weekend on the bench for Pompey. Played in a friendly on Tuesday away to Plymouth Argyle, played full 90 minutes, and he's in contention for tomorrow's game. Just a quick word on him. Would you like to see him start at Bolton, or would you prefer to see him kind of slowly eased into the game again?
I'd love to see him start, but I don't want him to start, if that makes sense. I think because he's been out for so long and he's had so many injuries in such a short space of time for someone of his age, I think easing him back in is the best thing to do. I think if he did start, he'd probably play 60 minutes tops.
Mm.
So there's no real point disrupting the flow of Raggett and Burgess for the time being. I'm not Raggett's biggest fan, but I think easing Jack Watmore back in is the perfect thing to do.
Yeah. Okay, Sam, Josh, thank you. It is time now to press you for your score predictions, please. We'll begin with you, Sam. What do you reckon?
2-0 Pompey.
2-0 Pompey. So, Sam, how about you, Josh?
I've got a horrible feeling. But, well, 2-1 Pompey, I think.
2-0, 2-1. Okay, gents, thank you. Fair predictions there. Not too confident. Of course, it's going to be a massive banana skin for Pompey tomorrow. We hope not. We're going for 2-0 and 2-1. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win to Pompey. I reckon we're going to get our fourth consecutive victory in a row, of course, and our third away win of the season. Gents, thank you both so much for coming in for tonight's show. It's been a pleasure to have you both in the studio for this one, as it always is, of course. Coming up this evening, we have Music for the Soul with Gloria Miller from 8 o'clock through till 10 p.m, when Hipshaker returns, a groovy blend of 60s soul, R&B and beat music too. Tomorrow morning, Ian McGuinness wakes you up with a Saturday breakfast show from 7 a.m. He has all the musical features, local events, sport and travel to start your Saturday off right. Hammer Times with John Cameron is here from 10 a.m. He'll be taking a look back at 1977, collating your memories from that year through till 11 o'clock. And then Lily Park has just great songs, a tiny quiz and a look at what's happening in Portsmouth this weekend between 11 and 2 o'clock. Tomorrow evening, Mason Jordan is back with a local music show. He'll have all the local, incredible music from the local area around Portsmouth, showcasing all of the fantastic, talented young artists from our city, of course. And then Decades Party, we have Paul Adams from 7pm, and then Weekend Remixes from 11 sees off your Saturday Saturday night here on Express FM. Once again, big thanks to both Sam Macy and Josh Sweetman for joining me on tonight's show. Thanks, of course, as well to everybody back home for tuning in. And a thanks, of course, to our sponsors, Stagecoach Buses, for supporting this season of the Football Hour. Tune in tomorrow for Pompey Live, full coverage of Bolton versus Pompey from 2pm here on Express FM. Until next time, have a great evening, and I'll see you tomorrow for Pompey Live.